The opinions and views expressed in Dead Men Do Tell Tales and all affiliated media are Jordan and Nicole's and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of their training program or others working in the field of medico-legal death investigation.
Welcome to Dead Men Do Tell Tales,
a podcast about forensic pathology related topics.
I'm Nicole Kroom.
And I'm Jordan Taylor.
And we're both pathology residents who are going into forensic pathology.
And so the episode that we originally wanted to do today, we wanted to do it while being able to drink, and you guys will know why later. But with timing, this couldn't happen, so we ended up changing our plans kind of last minute, and we decided that it'd be fun, since this podcast comes out on Christmas, we decided we would tell you some fun tales vaguely related to Christmas and associated with murder. So.
So to begin with, I am going to talk about something that is a very common urban legend around the holidays. Mm-hmm. So man attempts to surprise his family by dressing up as Santa Claus and entering the house by sliding down the chimney. Hmm. He gets stuck, dies, and is discovered by his family after they light a fire in the fireplace.
Oh,
blah,
no.
Blah, blah. So,
no.
That is the urban legend.
Oh, okay. It's not real. Okay, great.
Yeah. So
we're starting off strong here, Nicole.
Oh, yeah. No. But that was definitely when we decided to switch to this topic. That was definitely the first thing I thought of, was like people dying in chimneys because they pretend that they're Santa.
Oh.
So I looked it up, and it's unclear where the origin of this legend started. And there have been no actual instances of a real Santa-garbed father perishing in a chimney. Although I did come across this article that I thought was real at first. That's from this.
Is it like a story?
It's from a satirical website called Not Allowed To. And the title of the article was Father Missing Since Last Christmas Found in Chimney, Dressed as Santa.
Uh-huh.
So I read that and I was like, I was horribly
How
excited.
How did it not smell? Like, all the questions.
Yeah, so that one I read through and it was actually not real, but okay. It made me look at...
So the noise that you're hearing, Cole likes to destroy boxes, so if you hear it in like tears, that is my kitten tearing up a cardboard box, so...
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Opening her box early.
Yes. Her Christmas present is literally a cardboard box, and she is so excited about it.
Who wouldn't be? So, the closest thing I could get to with a Christmas-related chimney story was this. Okay. 'Twas 12 nights before Christmas, and at Lori's little shack on Greenback, a dive bar in Citrus Heights, one creature was stirring, allegedly planning a heist.
Ooh.
The employee's stockings were hung at the bar with care, full of tips, not expecting a burglar would soon be there.
Dun, dun, dun.
So the owner of the bar is a woman named Lori Lamoureux.
Wait, did you write that?
No.
Oh, okay.
I did not. I wish I was
really
like
impressive.
Creative. Yeah. I should have continued the rest. I mean, it's not like I was doing anything else today. I should have just continued the rest of the poem. But those were two sentences that were in this news article I found that was written like that poem.
That's awesome.
And I just took some excerpts from it.
That's awesome.
And then added different details. So... Lori Lamoureux, the bar owner, had put up these stockings with the employees' tips, and there was about $300 to $400 total in the stockings. So this 32-year-old man named Jesse Berube decided that the best way into the building to take the stockings would be to go down the chimney.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Who alarms their chimney?
No, nobody. So he shimmied down the chimney, feet first.
Shimmied.
But then he chimneyed, down the chimney. You like it. But then the chimney took a sudden 90-degree corner and he got stuck. Fortunately, he was able to reach his cell phone and call 911 for help. So Citrus Heights police officers got this call and they went to Lori's little shack along with the Sacramento Metro Fire Department. And they arrived on scene and found him inside of the chimney. And they had to bring all this special equipment down to extract him from said chimney. And the surprising thing was that Berube was actually a well-known customer in La Moreau's place. Oh, like, no. He was a frequent visitor.
So he's literally stealing from the people that he's been tipping.
Yeah.
Or trying to.
Yeah. So after this incident, the Citrus Heights Police Department tweeted out, "Criminal Santa does not have the same skills as the real deal."
I mean, you don't have those magic powers.
Yeah. So this incident took place in 2017.
Okay.
And burglars are one of the most frequent people to get stuck inside of chimneys.
That's amazing.
So actually,
has anybody successfully burgled through a chimney?
None of the stories I came across were successful burglars. Fair. I don't know if a person who successfully burgled that way would give away their secret, though.
That's true.
Yeah.
Everything was just gone the next morning.
Yeah.
There was these mysterious, ashy footprints throughout the house.
The problem with fireplaces is that they have these different turns.
Yes.
So that's a common place for people to get stuck. But, I mean, it also allows people to get trapped at a height that's...
they can't quite get back out.
Right, but also so they're not quite so far down that they can't be extracted.
Gotcha.
But then at the very end of the fireplace is a thing called a flue. And the flue, in order for the smoke to travel out of the chimney, has to be significantly narrower than the chimney opening, than the fireplace opening itself.
Oh, so by definition, it's narrowed.
Right. So people often look at a fireplace and they go, oh, I could fit through that, not realizing that the flue just inside is more narrow than the fireplace opening. Burglars are often the ones who attempt to do this, going down the chimney.
Okay.
It's not really like these amateur Santas or dads pretending to be Santas.
Okay.
So there have been some notable instances of burglars not being so lucky as this guy.
Okay.
So in November of 2015 in Fresno County, a suspected burglar died after getting stuck in a chimney when the homeowner... he lit a fire and heard screaming. And he...
how long was he in there for?
Not very long. I think he had climbed down that same day, just like I'm not even sure if he was even in there for hours. But okay. For some reason, the homeowner decided like that day to light a
fire.
Now
is the time.
Yeah. And so he lit the fire, started to hear screaming, tried to put the fire out, but there was smoke coming back because the chimney was obstructed.
Yeah.
And eventually when the firefighters arrived, they put out the fire and got to the man, but he was already dead.
Did he die of smoke inhalation or suffocation?
So the results from the autopsy weren't back,
of course,
by the time the article was written. But yes, there have been many other stories of people getting stuck in chimneys, not just burglars. There have also been like... skeletons found years after the fact, and they're not sure why those people were in the chimney.
What?
Other notable stories are there's this guy in London, Leo Wan, or Wan.
Okay.
And he got stuck in a London chimney when he fell in on accident. Mm. He was sitting on the rim, kind of like you do in a jacuzzi, and he accidentally fell in, but luckily he too had his cell phone with him. It seems like historically lots of people... not lots of people, but historically, the people that were most likely to get stuck in chimneys were chimney sweeps in the 18th and 19th century.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
They were supposed to be there.
Right. There's this whole book called Of the Sweepers of Old and the Climbing Boys, which is basically just a compendium of all of the ways that chimney sweeps died in the 18th and 19th centuries, mostly from getting stuck in the chimneys.
Okay.
And actually, the word stuck... was a trade term back then. So until 1885, it actually meant getting jammed in a chimney.
Like just the word stuck?
Yeah.
Huh.
So that's where the origins of it come from.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So yeah, it seems like with the advent of cell phones, people don't die as often when they get stuck in chimneys.
Yay, cell phones. Ding.
Turn that off. Yeah. So money isn't the only reason that people have tried to climb down chimneys before.
Okay.
There were several stories of people who have done it for love.
Aww.
So one of which is this woman named Dr. Jacqueline Cutterick. And she was a 49-year-old woman who was trying to force her way into her on-again, off-again boyfriend's home.
And bad ideas.
So after trying to get in with a shovel, she decided that going down the chimney would be the next best option.
Less forceful, I guess.
Yep. And so she left her purse and all of her other stuff on the ground outside before climbing into the chimney feet first.
So, at least it wasn't head first.
Right. I guess that's true. But leaving all of her stuff meant no way to contact. Yeah. So her on again, off again boyfriend had actually just left the house to go on a trip to Europe. So it wasn't until a house sitter came 3 days later.
People are dumb.
And the house sitter smelled something terrible and looked into the chimney and saw Dr. Cutterick's body stuck 2 feet above the chimney opening.
She's a doctor?
She was a doctor. I think she was an internist, so just a general medicine doctor.
Well done.
Yes. Yeah. People do strange things when they're in love.
It's true.
Yeah. So when the firefighters arrived, it took them 5 hours to dismantle the chimney and recover her body.
It seems about right.
Yeah.
Their chimneys are pretty solidly made, usually.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Yep. And the website I was looking at, they actually had a CNN news clip, and it showed the chimney, and it just, like, ripped from the outside and all the brick and stuff. Huh. And yeah.
That's kind of fun.
Yep. So that's how they got her out. In terms of cause of death for her, I believe it was positional asphyxia. And we talked a bit about the different types of asphyxia in our strangulation episode, but just as a recap, positional asphyxia is when a person gets wedged into some sort of position that prevents their chest from expanding properly.
Mm-hmm.
So this mechanical obstruction prevents them from getting the oxygen they need.
Makes sense.
But other ways that people who have gotten stuck inside of chimneys have been found to die are from dehydration or starvation.
Oh.
If they are wedged in a position where they can survive for long enough to die a horrible, terrible death.
That's yeah. So bad.
And then, like, the first guy that I talked about, they can also die from somebody lighting a fire in the fireplace. And so that is another type of asphyxia, usually due to carbon monoxide poisoning from all of the smoke.
I don't like carbon in my oxygen.
No. Yep. And so a few other interesting facts that I found when I was researching this are that St. Nicholas is the patron saint of thieves. That could be why burglars seem to get into the most chimney trouble.
Makes sense.
And there are a lot of Christmas novelty songs that are written about Santa getting stuck in a chimney, actually. So I actually listened to a few of these today. I liked Ella Fitzgerald's Santa Claus Got Stuck in My Chimney. And then there was also Giselle McKenzie's Too Fat for the Chimney.
Too fat.
Being really blunt about it.
I mean, that's what the magic comes in.
That's true. How he squeezes down. Yep.
That's how he fits down those tiny little chimneys that are just pipes. You all saw the Santa Claus.
Yes. Right? Yeah. With Tim Allen?
Tim Allen.
Oh my gosh.
One of my favorite Christmas movies.
I forgot about that movie.
I laughed so hard in theaters that people laughed at me laughing at the movie.
You do have a great laugh.
Thank you.
Yeah, it's very distinct.
Good and bad.
Yeah. So, to close this all out, there was this final paragraph in this Vice article that I got a lot of my information from that I liked. It should be obvious that using a chimney generally won't get anyone into a house, so it's weird and obviously tragic that people try anyway. The Santa myth might be blameless, but it doesn't seem like a stretch to connect those dots. So remember, you are not Santa. Do not go down chimneys.
Don't go up a chimney either.
Yeah, there was one story of two teens that looked like they might have been trying to escape out of the building by going up a chimney, but they got stuck. So yeah, don't do that either.
So dumb. So I'm going to instead talk about the man that goes down the chimney. So we all know Santa's the quintessential symbol of modern day Christmas. And I thought it would be interesting to put a little twist on that. And I'm going to tell you 5 stories about crazy Santas. Or various versions thereof.
Okay.
So these are from all over the world and across a good amount of time. First couple are pretty short, and the last couple are a little more in-depth and kind of fun. So first one is New Year's Eve Santa, and none of them are fun. This is very much so in the there are no happy stories here category.
Okay.
So, New Year's Eve Santa, New Year's Eve 2017, outside of a packed nightclub called Reina in Turkey, around 1:45 a.m., a man that was dressed as Santa showed up. Outside the nightclub, he pulled out a long-barreled shotgun, murdered a policeman and a civilian before heading inside, where there were hundreds of people. Pretty much anyone unlucky enough to be in the way was shot. He wounded 69 people and killed 39 people. In the end, ISIS claimed responsibility. The shooter was Abu Muhammad Khorasani. And then they found him 2 weeks later in his friend's apartment with more firearms, ammunition, drones, and $200,000.
Whoa.
So
I was really hoping you were about to say that they found him 2 weeks later stuck in a chimney.
That would be great. In his friend's chimney with firearms, ammunition, drones, right. And $200,000 on his body.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds like the sack that I want Sam to be bringing me, you know.
The drones and the cash. The drones and the cash, yes.
He can keep the firearms.
And the ammunition.
Yeah,
that's fair. So, evil Santa number one. The second one I called the mine Santa. So in 2012 in Jaffa, Israel, there was a Christmas parade procession, and there were two men named Fuad Abu Mana and Tufik Dalu, and they were trading off a Santa costume in this parade. This seemed a little weird to me, but apparently they were trading off this Santa costume. And they followed this guy, Gabriel Cadiz, who was the leader of the Jaffa Orthodox Church, who this procession was going from, to his car after the parade. And then in the parking lot, one of the Santas, Abu Mana, stabbed him in the back twice, severing a major artery and puncturing his lung.
Oof.
The motive was allegedly a dispute between the Abu Mana family and then the Jaffa Orthodox Church, because their family home was on land that was owned by the church. These two guys fled the scene, but it was all caught on a security camera.
Oh, very smart.
And they were eventually charged with murder and it said a lengthy prison sentence.
Huh.
But these Santas were not willing to share, and they wanted all the property and land rights to themselves.
Yeah.
So
the opposite of giving.
The opposite of giving. It's crazy. These stories were crazy. There was two that I cut that were just pure sad. And I was like, okay, we're not going to do all of these. This next one I titled, Everything's Bigger in Texas, Even Murdery Rage. So, Christmas Day in Dallas in 2011. I'm going to try this name, and I'm sorry when I mispronounce it. The Yasin Panahwas family was celebrating Christmas. We had Fatima Ramadi, 55, her daughter Nona at 19, and her son Ali, 14, along with her sister Zora Ramadi, 58, her husband Muhammad Hussein Zareh, 59, and their daughter Sarah.
Yeah, you said those all pretty smoothly. Especially Sarah.
Sarah was good. And Fatima's a pretty noni. There were some pretty easy ones at that time. Set myself up well for that one.
Yeah.
And then Fatima's estranged husband and their children's father, Aziz, came to join them wearing a Santa suit.
Mm.
So Sarah, who was a 22-year-old niece, was texting people throughout the evening, as all 22-year-olds did in 2011. And she said, we just got here, and my uncle is here, too, dressed as Santa. Awesome. And then 15 minutes later, she texted, now he wants to be all fatherly and win Father of the Year. And then 20 minutes later, 911 got a call from Aziz himself, and with shouts of help coming in the background, he calmly said into the phone, I am shooting people. 3 minutes later, the police arrive and find everyone around the Christmas tree that they were just opening presents at dead.
Wow.
The son, daughter, niece, and sister-in-law were shot multiple times in the head. The wife was shot once in the head. And the brother-in-law was shot multiple times in the head, chest, and stomach. And they say that before Aziz killed himself, he tried to stage the scene by placing one of the guns in the hand of the deceased brother-in-law to try to, you know, say they both did it or whatever. Yeah. And they really don't know what the motive behind this was, but they think it had to do with marital and financial trouble. But there's no real way to know for sure. A lot of these were people randomly had, besides the terrorist attack, notice people have grudges against somebody and decided to take it out this way.
While wearing a Santa outfit.
And, I mean, it's disarming, right? Santa's here.
Right.
Santa's at the door.
Yeah.
This next one, I have a lot on just because it's a crazy story. The initial article had this one little sentence, and then I went and looked into something that they called crazy, and it was so crazy that I have to share it with you all. So this next one I'm calling the taking rather than the giving Santa.
Okay.
So we're going to go back about a century. December 23rd in 1927 in Cisco, Texas. Again, Texas.
Oh. Most of these chimney stories happen in California.
Oh, interesting.
So most of the crazy Santas are in Texas. So just stay out of both of those states.
There's a lot of guns involved in these two. So yes, please avoid the two largest states. Well, minus Alaska. Nobody lives up there, though. So, on December 23rd, 1927, this guy, Marshall Ratliff, puts on a Santa suit, and his three buddies, Henry Helms, Robert Hill, Lewis Davis, drop him off a few blocks away from a bank. He's walking down the street saying, ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Little kids are walking up to him. And he walks into First National Bank in Cisco, Texas. And there were a couple of little kids that were following Santa in.
No, don't do it.
They're like, I want to talk to Santa. I want to see Santa. And he went up to the teller. And the teller apparently said, how's it going, Santa? What can I do for you, Santa? And he just didn't say anything. And then not creepy at all. And then he pulled out his gun. He proceeded to steal more than, at that time, $12,000 in cash and $150,000 in non-negotiable securities, which today translates into $170,000 in cash and $2.1 million in securities.
Woof.
And then they don't know who let off the first shot, but within the bank itself, there were more than 200 bullet holes.
What?
Between robbers shooting out and shooting within the bank, and then, because this is Texas, civilians from the outside who own guns, including the postmaster and the assistant postmaster, who then shot into the bank.
Yeah.
And there was this big shootout with Santa and his three friends. So those three co-conspirators also came in a little bit after. Okay. They just let him out a couple blocks early.
Right.
They then forced everyone out of the bank, and they got two female hostages, Laverne Comer, 12, and Emma Mae Robertson, 10.
Oh.
And they used them as shields to get them out to their van.
Boo!
And then in the alley, there was more of a shootout, and Chief Bedford and Deputy George Carmichael were mortally shot. And then they led the police on a chase. Now, just going to say this now, this started on December 23rd.
Uh-oh.
So, the chase was described in multiple sources as surpassing anything in which Billy the Kid or the James Boys had ever figured. All right, so now we start this.
Okay.
These four robbers were driving away in a van, and they realized that they didn't have much gas. So, they commandeered an Oldsmobile that was being driven by a 14-year-old. Also, what, Texas? Named Woodrow...
Well, it was also 1927, still, right?
Still, you 14! So young.
Well, but when did the driving age become 16?
I have no idea. So he commandeered this car, but what he didn't know is that the kid had very, like, to give point to this 14-year-old, they kicked him out of the car and they got in the car and they realized the kid still had the keys in his hand, so they couldn't get moving. So they had, like, moved. So in this shootout,
right,
various members of the robbers had been shot.
Okay.
Like the main guy with the Santa suit, I think he had gotten shot in the chin and somewhere else. Yeah, the chin. It was listed on their chin, which is crazy. And he was also shot somewhere else. And so one of their colleagues, Davis, was unconscious at this point. So they left him in the back when they went back into the van to continue running away.
Okay.
What they didn't realize was that when they had moved to the Oldsmobile, they moved all their cash, but they forgot to take the cash back when they got out of the Oldsmobile to get back into the van.
Oh my gosh.
So there's a whole, like, mob following them, right? This is like the 1920s in Texas. They were literally a mob following them. So the mob momentarily stopped when they found Davis and the money. They're like, oh, we have the money. Great. There was a long car chase from here with more shooting, and, you know, they described swinging onto dirt roads. Apparently, they tried to throw roofing nails out of the van to try to puncture the tires of the cars that were chasing
them. This sounds like an old school Acme cartoon.
It is, which is why it's surpassing anything in which Billy the Kid or the James Boys had ever figured. At this point, they abandoned the car and went out on foot, and they evaded all the cops for another night. The next morning, they stole another car, which they then proceeded to wreck and then steal another car that was being driven by a Carl Wiley. Now, Carl Wiley's father was part of the chase, And as he was shooting, he actually shot his son.
Oh.
Who was driving the car. Then they were there for another night with this, you know, with Carl for the night. And
Carl.
And then the next morning, they abandoned Carl and they decided that returning to Cisco, which was the town, to hide in plain sight was the best idea. So they released Carl and stole a different car, because why not at
right.
this point?
Yeah. Cars grow on trees.
And then they were ambushed when they were trying to cross the Brazos River. This led to another car chase to an oil field where Ratliff, which was the guy that was wearing the Santa suit, was hit and fell to the ground. When they finally got him, he had been shot 6 times and he had 6 pistols on his person.
Oh my lord.
So many guns. Then Helms and Hill, who are the other two, ran into the woods. They ended up finding them finally on December 30th. This started on December 23rd.
Right, wow.
They didn't find, because like they were in the woods for a while and then they were, of course, sore, tired, hungry.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
eventually
yeah.
they just were able to track them down.
Okay.
And they kind of came easily at that point. So Davis, which was the first one that was unconscious in the car, in the Oldsmobile.
Yeah.
He had died.
Oh.
So Helms, which was another one of them, pled insanity, and he was executed by electric chair on September 6, 1929. So this happened December 23rd, 1927, so about 2 years later.
Yeah.
Then Hill pled guilty to armed robbery. He was given life imprisonment. He escaped 3 times, was recaptured 3 times. Then he was paroled in the mid-40s, changed his names, apparently became a productive citizen, and died in 1996.
Wow.
This is like the story that just keeps on giving.
Yeah.
And then we go on to our final guy, Ratliff. Finally on to Santa.
Okay.
Now, this is another entirely crazy thing.
Oh, really?
So, Ratliff was captured and pleaded insanity. He was sentenced to 99 years in prison, but all the civilians of the county were mad that he hadn't been executed. So, Judge Davenport ordered that he be extradited to another town because, of course, this chase happened all over the place. So uh-huh. they wanted to extradite into another town to be charged for the armed robbery of the Oldsmobile. And he's extradited to this other county. And then on November 18th, while he was awaiting trial, he feigned paralysis and convinced his jailers they had to feed him, bathe him, and take him to the toilet. In this acting binge, he got a hold of a six-shooter in the office desk, fatally wounded one of the jailers, Tom A. Uncle Tom Jones, and violently fought the other jailer in hand-to-hand combat. His name was Pat Kilborn. And there were several shots that were fired from that six-shooter that luckily missed.
Oh, good.
Now, the town, apparently the jailer's daughter, were apparently watching this from outside through, like, the jail windows, but they couldn't get in.
Yeah.
So they were just watching this, and luckily Kilborn was able to pin Ratcliffe Santa down and beat him unconscious until they brought him back into the cell. Then the next morning, a crowd of nearly 2,000 gathered outside the jail the next morning, and while Kilborn tried to hold them back, like, actually like a good jailer and, like, protect this dude who had stolen a gun from them.
Yeah.
The crowd overpowered him. They dragged him out, and then they lynched him.
Whoa.
They never charged anybody for the lynching. But in the end of this botched robbery, it cost 6 people their lives, 3 of which were the robbers and 2 of which were the policemen that I mentioned earlier. I'm still not sure what the other one was. But it was this crazy story about this seemingly completely unrealistic chase.
Right.
That seems like it actually happened. Yeah. And I was like, okay, well, that's worth talking.
Oh my gosh.
And then my final story I called When Santa and the Yule Log Merge. It's not about chimneys, I promise.
Okay.
So this is December 24th, 2008 in Covina, California, which is right outside LA. And at 11:30, Santa Claus came to the door of this house with 25 people inside with a gift wrapped package on a trolley and a semi-automatic handgun in the other hand. there were an additional 3 semi-automatic handguns concealed in the Santa suit, which I feel like is the reason for the Santa suit for all of these. Just conceal more guns.
Oh.
1, people will let you in, and 2, there's a lot of space to hide stuff.
That makes some logical sense.
So the man in the Santa suit was Bruce Pardo, and his 8-year-old niece, Katrina Yusufpolsky, answered the door. Immediately, Santa held up the gun and shot her in the head.
What?
Of the 25 partiers, they all began to flee, and Santa held up the gun and just started shooting into the crowd.
What?
There were a few people that he targeted. And after the crowd had dispersed and he had shot people, Santa then opened his present, which was a homemade flamethrower, and burned the house to the ground.
What?
Then Santa got in his car, drove 10 miles to his brother's house in Sylmar, and then turned the gun on himself and shot himself in the head. So this was his former in-law's home. His divorce had been finalized the week before, and they supposed that he knew that the family was going to be there to celebrate Christmas, and he killed 9 people. Of the 25, 9 were killed. 3 of which were fun gunshots, which included that little girl.
Yeah.
His ex-wife and both of her parents. There were an additional 5 people that were just killed from the flames. And they used jet fuel in this, so it burned really, really hot. And so they had to use medical and dental records to identify them because the fire was so hot they didn't have anything recognizable left.
Where did he get jet fuel for his homemade flamethrower? That's a good
question that I should have looked up.
Oh my gosh.
And the other thing it had in here was there were at least 13 children that were orphaned and 2 that lost 1 parent.
Wow.
Because this is an entire family, right? So it's a few parents and a bunch of kids.
Oh my gosh.
And a lot of I'm sure the parents were pushing their children out.
Right.
But I thought that I might be able to find one story of a crazy Santa, and I was amazed that there were at least 9 to 10. This article had 7 of them.
Yeah.
And then some of them were just psychopath Santa. And I wouldn't have thought of the fact that the hardest thing to do sometimes is to get in and to conceal your weapons. And Santa suit solves both problems, because who's not going to let in Santa? Santa.
Well, I'm not going to let in Santa now.
I'm also never going to live in a house with a chimney now.
Yeah.
Or at least I'm going to brick it up on the bottom and never really use it.
Well, that won't prevent somebody from climbing in and dying.
Well, that's fine. They just can't burgle my house.
I guess that's true, but the smell will just permeate your...
I'll brick it up on the top.
Yes.
Okay.
Exactly.
Great.
Yeah.
Or just nail metal over the top.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seal it off.
Yes.
There were, so I lived in Connecticut growing up, and there were definitely times that we had squirrels that got into the chimney and died in there.
Oh no.
And we had to get our chimney cleaned every once in a while, and there's been a couple squirrels that got caught in there, which is super sad.
Not the squirrels.
Not the squirrels. But yeah, it was crazy. I was like, I don't know how much we're going to find, and then I found all this insane Santas.
Yep. I am surprised at the number of getting stuck in a chimney stories I found.
I feel like people are really dumb, though, so I shouldn't be surprised.
I guess that's true. There were actually 2 very recent stories of people getting stuck in chimneys, one of which was a week ago. A man in Tucson, Arizona got stuck in a chimney,
what?
And this is the photo. Look how far he got.
It just has, his ankles and feet sticking out.
Yep. I will definitely post it on social media.
Yes.
The other one was 2 weeks ago. There were these 2 teens that were locked out of a house. And so one of the girls was like, I'll just climb down the chimney and then we won't have to call my parents. And she got stuck. Guess what her name was?
Santa?
Nicole. Nicole in Phoenix got stuck in a chimney 2 weeks ago.
This wasn't Nicole in Jordan.
Yeah, that's true. Her friend was named Yasmin, so... Missed opportunities.
People are dumb.
Yep.
So Schmeeds.
So if you liked this and all of our other episodes, please remember to rate, review, and subscribe. It's how we get boosted up on the various podcasting platforms and other people hear about us.
You can visit our website at deadmendotellpodcast.com, where we link to all of our sources and our episode guide.
On Twitter, we're @deadmendo.
At Insta, we're @thedeadtelltales.
And we have a Facebook page, Dead Men Do Tell Tales Podcast.
And of course, always send us an email if you have questions, comments, corrections, whatever, through, or just want to say hi, through our website or directly to thedeadtelltales@gmail.com.
And our opening music is Introducing the Pre-Roll by Lee Rosevere, who you can find on SoundCloud.
So have a great holidays, even with our murdery tales.
Yes. Happy holidays.
Bye, guys.
Bye.